This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. I am Dean Holland, joined by the goddess of the garden, Charlie Dobbin. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. How has your week been? How's your garden doing?
Oh, my garden has loved the rain. It's just been a huge pleasure. Of course, the grass is green now, growing like crazy. Lots and lots of plants have kind of perked up with the. We've had about close to 9 inches of rain in the last 12 days.
Beautiful.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And I will say the weeds are also taking advantage of the gorgeous moisture and the nice warm temperature. So things are perking at my place. What about you?
Everything's pretty even keel at our place. We've had, over the last month, rain a little bit more regularly paced than you. I know you said you went, close to a month without rain. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. We had no measurable rain after the third week of June up until, 10 days ago. Yeah. So, more than a month.
Yeah, so we've had some good heavy days of rain. Not so much in the last week, I guess, a little bit. But, ours has been a lot more even keel. Everything's green. Everything's growing. The plants, the weeds, everything, yeah. The grass needs to be cut yet again. There we are.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but just, so you're, of course, not calling from your regular home studio.
I am not.
In Collingwood, you're live and direct in the studio.
I'm right across from Carlos today, because we're right here in Zoomerplex, and that is part and parcel because of all the, my two oldest are going back to university, so we're delivering people and things to university homes and such. Yeah, so I was down in the Toronto area, so here I am, for sure.
Good stuff. Listen, before we... Oh, do you want to do the numbers?
I would love to.
Have a couple of announcements.
I would love to give the numbers. Yeah, so 416-360-0740 is the number for those Toronto residents. And anywhere else in the province of Ontario, it's toll-free. 1-866-740-4740. And do let Carlos know if you're a first-time caller, because, Charlie, I got him. I brought the garden wings with me.
You brought them.
Oh, yeah. And we want you to call often, call early, and please, 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 one question per call. And, you said you had a couple of announcements before we go to our first break.
Sure. Just quickly, next Saturday, September 10th, the Agent Court Garden Club is holding their annual flower, vegetable, and design show with a tea room. It's free and open to the public, and they're a very fun group of people. So, what happens is the members bring all the best of the season's bounty from their home gardens to the hall for the viewing pleasure of everyone, including the public. So flowers, vegetables, designs, everybody, like I say, is welcome. Bring your cameras. There's experts there to answer your questions. Have a cup of tea while you're admiring all the beautiful bounty. And, of course, this is all happening at the Knox United Christian Education Center, which is at 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. So that is next Saturday from 2 to 4. And then the following Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Pickering Recreation Center in the O'Brien Room, the Pickering Garden and Hort Society is meeting. Again, this is all welcome. Everybody come to the meeting. The special speaker is Seya Beheshti, and she's speaking on the subject of African violets and growing them in containers and probably using them as a design aspect within mixed containers. So 7 o'clock, Tuesday, September 13th, the Pickering Garden and Hort Society.
Great. Both sound fantabulous. Okay, we are going to take our first break. The lines are open, so please give us a call with your questions. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here with the Garden Show, and the lines are ringing steadily, Charlie. Going to go to our first caller. We have Sharon from Gravenhurst. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sharon.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean. I have two large pots of morning glories on my deck. They are growing crazy, but no flowers.
Oh, you know why? You are loving them too much. Too much care makes too many leaves. So yeah. Stop watering, stop fertilizing, yell at them a bit, and they'll flower.
Oh, okay. It's not too late in the season then.
Yeah, they perform better when they're stressed. So stress them. Make sure they're in full sun, of course, and let them really dry out between waterings.
Okay, I will try, and hopefully the flowers will come before the frost.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
So sometimes a little bit of neglect does the trick. Is that it?
Oh yeah. Too much love kills lots of plants.
Huh. Yeah. Wow, just to turn a blind eye. There you go. Let them do their
thing. It's like raising children, right? You just ignore them every now and then.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough. Okay, again, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number, or toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We are going to North York now. Charlie, we have Maureen on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning. Dean, good morning, Charlie. Charlie, I'm calling about earlier in the season. I had called you about my northern catalpa tree that the city planted, and I followed your instructions, and it's done very well, except a couple of days ago, it started getting brown spots, and then where the brown spots are, it's getting holes. So should I be worried?
No, you know why? It's September now. It probably is some form of a fungal disease or some kind of a leaf spot. And of course, what's happening is where the tissue is turning brown and then black, the tissue dies and then it just falls out. So it looks like a shotgun has been shot through the leaves. And if it was June, I'd say, okay, let's talk a little more about this. But it's September. Those leaves are going to all drop off in the next few weeks anyway. So to have any kind of a minor issue going on with the leaves of trees at this time of year is never a concern. It's almost like, you know, that disease, it's called tar spot, that happens on some of our maple trees. Same idea, black spots, kills the leaves ultimately, but by the time the leaves are dead, the season's over anyway.
Okay, so in the spring it should come back okay.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be perfect. Just keep an eye. Next spring, before the leaves come out, just take a real good look at it because, you know, the city's not going to look after that tree. So take a really good look. Make sure that there's no crisscrossing of branches. Imagine it's not too tall yet that you could reach even on a stepladder. And just clean it up a bit if there's any deadwood or a lot of growth to the inside of the tree. Make sure all the growth is happening and growing to the outside of the tree.
Okay, thank you very much, Charlie, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, and good luck with that, Maureen.
We've had some properties in our area that have had that ash borer had to have a lot of trees removed. I felt very bad for the one property, probably about 7 trees on their property.
Oof. Boy, and that cost them. That's all on private property.
Yeah, and big trees, like very tall.
Yeah. Yeah, like $1,000 a tree kind of price. Like, I'm sure that they got a better deal than having to pay $1,000 each, but still very expensive to take down big, big trees like that. And yet it's the best thing to do because think about it. A borer has tunneled through all the wood of that tree, right? Mm-hmm. Through the main stem and all the branches. And all you need is a big wind or a bit of an ice storm, and that whole tree comes crashing down.
Right. Right, yeah, we were talking about that just the other day, how then I suppose that insurance won't be as happy to pay for that damage if they know that the tree has been identified as being sick, I suppose.
Correct,
yeah. Okay, we have to take our first break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back on The Garden Show this first weekend of September, Labor Day weekend. Kind of hard to believe there, Charlie.
Where did it go?
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy.
Now, I'm always shocked.
Yeah, I got to say that a lot of people, they start to, I think, psychologically pack it in because September rolls around. But in my estimation, we always still get a nice bump of warm weather through September.
Oh, really good point, Dean. You're absolutely right. Many people are just tired of gardening at this point, and they just want to hang up the rake and be done with it till next year. But this is the absolute best time to plant, to transplant, to particularly plant brand new plants that you pick up at the garden center, and they're on sale because it's the end of the season. So go out and look for things you've got on your list that might be out there half price. The soil is nice and warm. Plants immediately start to grow. Roots start to extend. Seeds that are planted now, particularly grass seeds, will grow very, very well. It's the best time of year to overseed your lawn, top dress, overseed. Oh, there's just so many things we can do in the fall if we can have the time and the energy and the, you know, the get up and go to do it. It's not, you know, May 2-4 is not the big weekend to get planting. This next month is the time to get planting.
Gotcha. Okay, note taken. Let's go to Mississauga now. We have Heidi on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Heidi.
Dean and Charlie, I have a question. My lawn is a big mess, and every year I used to buy black earth and put seeds and rejuvenate it. So I went to the garden center, and they said, we don't have any black earth this year, but we have triple mix, but you cannot put triple mix down because it burns the grass and it's full of weeds. Now, Mark Callan had an article in the paper, and he said to rejuvenate the lawn, you put down triple mix. Now, what's the story? Do I put triple mix or no, or go and look somewhere else for black earth, or how does it work?
So, Heidi, how big is your yard? Is when you've bought black earth, you bought it in bags, right?
Yeah, I used to buy about 9 bags.
Okay, so here's the scoop. If I were you, I would buy 9 or 10 bags of soil. The question is, should it be black earth? Should it be topsoil? Should it be triple mix? There's even stuff out there. It's called lawn top dressing. So lawn top dressing is amazing because, of course, it's designed specifically for the lawn. Either way, get bagged. If it is in a bag, it should not be full of weeds. So the garden center said, oh, you don't want the triple mix because it's full of weed seeds. It's like, well, if it was in bags, why would it be full of weed seeds? I don't understand. It does start outside, but once it gets bagged, it usually heats up in the bags, and seeds, if there are seeds, will die. So,
in the garden center, they have huge piles, and then they fill their own bags. So it's
right.
not
They're,
the bags that you buy at Canadian Tire or Home Depot right. or so on.
So, yeah, there's no question if soil is sitting out in big piles and then it's bag it yourself or have it delivered by the yard, there is likely to be seeds in there, weed seeds, unless you just happen to time it when they're turning the pile because the seeds are all sitting on the surface, right? So you don't want to take the soil from the surface. You want to dig into the pile and take it from the center in the middle somewhere. Or, like I said, buy it already bagged and sealed up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for your answer. I always listen to your show every Saturday. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you. That can be a little confusing when you're getting such mixed messages. But the bottom line is get some good soil out there and, yeah, avoid weed seeds if you can.
Okay. We are going to Cambridge now. We have Dan on the line. And Dan is a first-time caller. Welcome to The Garden Show, Dan.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
I'm going to give you your garden wings, sir.
Wonderful.
There you go.
Fly through our doors now this weekend.
There you go.
Good morning, Charlie. We have a problem with a gardenia plant that we purchased. Nice-looking plant when we got it home from the garden center in May. And we had it in a sheltered location on the deck with, a fair amount of filtered sun. kept very good care of it. It came home with lots of blossoms. It looked like it was going to be really quite a nice display. We got one nice one off of it. It turned yellow and died. And then the rest of the blossoms continued to come out partially and then turn brown on the ends. I followed that with a lot of yellowing from the leaves. So my wife, who's very good with plants, tried a couple of remedies, some conditioning of the soil with some Epsom salts and things that she had heard about, to no avail. We did try to replant it. Nothing has happened. It's continued down the same process. We brought it into the house, set it under a nice sun-lit area through skylight. It seemed like it was going to recover, and now it's gone into the same mode. So right now, we're faced with a gardenia with hardly any leaves left on it. Very loose as you pull up on the root structure. You can almost tell that the roots have not grown. And we're wondering if you can help, because this is our last-ditch attempt at trying to replant it.
I'll tell you, Dan, you and your wife have taken on quite a challenge because gardenias are not easy to grow here in Ontario. They are so gorgeous. We always fall in love with them at the garden center. They usually come up from Florida, and they're in perfect, you know, buds and blooms and green leaves and looking so good. And then we get them home and it's really hard to mimic those perfect conditions. You've done a lot of the right things. The one thing I know from having grown gardenias in the past, you can keep them alive and with lots of green leaves if you keep them constantly moist. They need far more moisture than what you would expect. So usually we think about watering a plant in a pot thoroughly and then letting it drain out, letting it dry down between waterings. But no, gardenias are kept constantly moist. So even in terms of the saucer they're sitting in, there should be water at all times. One of the fertilizers that is often used with gardenias, I'm pretty sure they still make it. It used to be on the market by Miracle-Gro, but it was called Mir Acid, so M-I-R acid. And it was a fertilizer for acid-loving plants, which is what gardenias are.
Okay.
At this time of year, I wouldn't be cranking a lot of fertilizer. What I would do is I'd be trying to acclimatize it to your home and have it in a situation where it will start to leaf out again. Do not expect any buds or blooms until next spring. But for now, I would cut back anything that's clearly dead or at least give the whole plant a haircut just to try and promote new growth. So a little bit off the tips. Get some new growth going, make sure it's in a bright spot, and keep the humidity as high as you can this next winter. That's going to be your hardest challenge, is high humidity. So a tray, like a big tray full of pebbles, the pot sits on top of the pebbles, and there's water in the tray at all times. Just keep the humidity at, you know, if you can keep it at 70, 75% and pretend you're in a Jamaican rainforest, that plant will do well.
So moisturizing with spray on the leaves would be a good idea?
Yep. Okay. Yep, definitely.
Right now, when you say trim it, it's almost bald. I would suggest that at this point, we were going to replant it this morning. If we do that, would you suggest it first? And secondly, what would you recommend for the soil?
Well, if you've already done a transplanting on it, I wouldn't do it again. Be happy with what you did. When you transplanted it, did it go into a bigger pot at that time?
Yes, it did, into a clay pot. It's sitting within a plastic, you know, these typical attractive-looking deck plastic surrounds with wheels on it. Inside a clay pot, and it seems to be quite a good size. We did transplant it from the original plastic container that it came in, so that would be its first transplant. It's just now when I kind of tugged up a little bit on the trunk, you could almost see that there was a very small root ball that was going to come out if there was any more pressure. So my guess was that it never got much root growth after we brought it home.
Right. And so you got to think, well, why did that happen? It could, remember, transplanting is shocking to plants. So the process of being transplanted, put into a new pot, particularly if it's a lot bigger. Remember when we transplant, in the case of a gardenia, it was probably in a 10-inch plastic pot when you bought it. So if you're going up a size, you go to a 12-inch. You don't go from a 10-inch up to a 20-inch pot because set the plant back. They do not grow roots quickly into a pot that's a lot bigger than what they came out of. So yeah, so we go one step at a time with our pots, but it is shocking no matter when we transplant. So let it be. Don't put too much demand on it. You want roots to grow, then you're not going to get a lot of top growth if you're getting bottom growth, and vice versa. So for now, I would let it hunker down, no fertilizer, just keep it moist, keep the humidity up. If the right. only growth on it is on the tips of the branches, then choose, don't take all the tips off because you don't want to take all the leaves off. But you'll right. find that if you do some tip pruning, you will force some new leaves out. Bright light, okay. high humidity, and let me know in a month or so how it's going.
Will do, and thanks for your advice. Appreciate it very much. Love the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Good luck with that gardenia there, Dan.
Oh, can't tell you how many times I've tried to grow gardenias.
Really? Yeah, they're that much of it. They are one of the plants that do not need ignoring, obviously.
Correct. Exactly. It doesn't thrive on neglect. It's not like a morning glory.
Wow.
That gardenia was my mother's all-time favorite flowering plant, and so many times I got her gardenias, and then the struggle began. Yes, indeed. It is. If you can give it a tropical rainforest, life is good.
It makes me not want to go out and buy a gardenia. They sound a bit challenging.
But they're so beautiful. The fragrance is so beautiful.
Oh, lovely. Okay, we're going to go. We've got another first-time caller on the line. And it's Susan. We're going to Oshawa. Welcome to the Garden Show, Susan.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, I would like to give you your garden wings, my dear.
Oh.
There you go. What do you got for Charlie
Welcome.
There, Susan?
Hi. So I have a honeysuckle tree, I guess, that was damaged in the windstorm in June. It has four individual trunks. They're each about 4.5 inches wide. The tree is about 15 feet high and about 15 feet across at the top. In the windstorm, all of the four trunks sort of bent over, twisted, and split down the middle at the bend. So it's sort of almost lying down, and it's on a hillside garden, but it still looks alive. Do you think there's anything I can do to salvage it?
Right. Well, they're very, very tough plants. They are very difficult to kill. So it probably is alive. The question is, can you salvage it? So is it in a place that it really matters what it looks like and how it grows when you see on a hillside?
No. It's on a little hillside garden beside my patio.
Oh.
But it doesn't. I don't really care what it looks like. I just like to keep it because the bumblebees are like all over it when it's in bloom.
Yeah. Well, what you'll find is that when the big old branches on a big old plant like a honeysuckle shrub are broken, two things are going to happen. One is new growth is going to come from the bottom. So you're going to get some new little stems growing up from the crown or the base of the plant. That will be your future shrub. For now, though, the broken down ones that are lying down and still have green leaves on them are going to struggle to stay alive. And it's amazing how much damage plants can sustain and still stay alive. I mean, we've all seen the apple tree that got hit by lightning, and the tree is completely hollow, and yet the apple tree is still alive. So it's still got, you know, the phloem and the xylem doing the movement of liquids just beneath the bark, and that's where it's so important. The center of any big old plant is dead wood anyway. All the life is just beneath the bark. So if the bark is intact in enough spots, life will continue in that plant. What I would do is I would, like, obviously take a good look at it, remove with clean, sharp saw or shears or loppers, anything that's clearly dead. Give it the winter and see what it looks like in the spring. Unless, you know, you've got some of these fallen down branches that absolutely need to be removed because they're interfering with other gardens or the patio or whatever. You know, if all four of them kind of collapse to the ground, if you can leave them there till next spring and then work on cleaning them up when you see what's really going on, or remove now, or remove one or two now and encourage new growth to come, like I say, from the crown or the center of the plant.
Okay. Thank you.
Makes sense. Good.
That's
You're welcome.
Okie doke. Yeah. Thanks for the call there, Susan. Good luck. with that. Charlie, we've been talking a little bit about fertilizing, and you got an email from Diane, who was quite a lengthy email about fertilizing her lawn and asking about nitrogen and corn gluten and things like that, and said, I guess her and her neighbor both are very, very diligent, or have been in the past, about their lawns. And while Diane did not get fertilizer put down in the spring this year, her neighbor did, and she noticed a difference with the clover and with the green of the lawn. And so she was hoping that maybe you could comment on that.
Yeah. Yes. A good. It's a really good point that she's bringing up. That this is a woman who has spent years and years in the same house. She's worked really hard, like we were just talking with Heidi in Mississauga, really wanting a nice lawn, staying on top of it, top dressing, overseeding, keeping it really beautiful. But then the years go by and we get. No, we don't have as much energy. We can't get down on our hands and knees quite the same. So now she's wondering, you know, what should I do? What should I do? And I love where she says it's really obvious where her lawn and her neighbor's lawn meet, because the neighbor was able to fertilize in the last spring or summer, whereas she wasn't. And the neighbor's lawn is quite green and hers is quite pale. And she, like she said, she's not digging out the clover and dandelions like she used to. So she's, you know, frustrated by all that. And I get it. The main thing is, and that... I know exactly what she's talking about, because I remember in Richmond Hill one time when my new neighbors moved in, they didn't know anything about lawns. They had just moved from a condo, and there they were merrily mowing the lawn but ignoring it otherwise. And then one day in about July, my neighbor goes, how come my lawn and your lawn are different colors? And I was like, well, you see, I do fertilize on occasion. And he's like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to fertilize. So then he did get it together and, you know, started doing a better job. But, you know, it's a learning process. Fall fertilizer is the most important fertilizing of the entire year when it comes to our lawns, and we're coming up to the fall fertilizer time frame. Usually I put the fall fertilizer down in October sometime, so you've got a couple of weeks to look around, look for some sales, get fall fertilizer. It will be very specifically say that, or winterizer fertilizer, and it will help our lawns be in good shape for next year. So, and in terms of all the other issues, the top dressing, the overseeding, great idea if you can do it. It's the best by far. You got patches, you have a dog, you've got some dead spots. I've got crabgrass coming up like crazy, and it's very obvious where the crabgrass is. So I've been digging that out. So I'll be patching as much as I can some of these holes to make sure more crabgrass doesn't grow there next year. And yes, as Diane said, she does have grandchildren, so she knows what needs doing. She wants to get those grandchildren to work. And I hear you. Everybody should be putting the grandchildren to work, hiring the neighbors. You know, I guess in your case, Dean, your kids are off to university, so they're not around to help you, but you have some younger ones that are still there. Put them to work. And you know, get them helping, because, you know, a nice lawn is just a beautiful, beautiful foreground to your gardens and maybe background to your back gardens. And it's just a, you know, a nice thing to have.
Gotcha. My youngest one, who just turned 13 yesterday, is probably just shaking her head at you right now going, what are you doing? Putting me to work.
What are you telling my dad?
What are you doing? Okay, we do have to take a break. I'm going to give those numbers out first, though. Toronto is 416-360-0740, or toll-free anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back with more here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, we're going to go directly to Toronto. We have Marianne on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Marianne.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. I have a question about pruning perennials. The tiger lilies and bleeding hearts have bloomed, and they're just flopping all over the flower bed. I've seen people cut their lilies down to about 6 inches. Is this normal?
So these are, you said tiger lilies. These are not day lilies. These are actual lilies?
Well, they're pretty and orange when they bloom.
Do they have leaves that are like grass, long and narrow, or are they a stem with little short leaves?
No, long and narrow.
Right. So those are daylilies.
Oh, daylilies.
So what you do, daylilies, the blooms only last a day. That's why we call them daylilies. They send up flower stems, which are separate from the leaves. They're green, and there's little buds, and every day a new flower opens on that stem until there's no more buds left, and then the stem turns brown. At that point, you get out your pruners and you cut out the brown stem, kind of like we do when we're looking at our orchids inside the house. Once the buds are done, the flowers are finished, the stem is brown, cut it off at ground level. And then the leaves are fine. You just enjoy the leaves. They'll drop in the big first frost that we have. Bleeding heart is an interesting plant because it depends where it's growing, what it does. It's beautiful in the spring. We love it in the spring. Yeah. It grows in very deep shade. And if you've got it growing in the shade, then it will actually, once it's finished blooming by about July, the whole plant turns yellow and basically drops to the ground. And then there's an empty, like you cut it all out once it's yellow and drops to the ground.
Oh.
And now you've got an empty spot.
Well,
however, go ahead.
The orange lilies, they actually bloom for quite a while.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, for sure. Like, you'll never cut leaves down. But, yeah, enjoy the flowers when they're there. It's just the stems, the flower stems that you will remove. And when it comes to bleeding heart, if you've got it growing in not deep shade, you've got it in a fair amount of sun, it will often stay up as a plant all through the summer as a green plant. But you can always cut and tidy the plant anytime because it does all its big show in the spring. So by July or August, if it's looking a little ragged, feel free to prune it. It's just, they're just green leaves and stems. The stems are hollow. They are going to, again, drop to the ground once we get a big frost.
Does this apply to Solomon's seal and peonies too?
Right, not the same. Solomon's seal should be perfect. It should just be standing there. Flowers, of course, when they're done, we prune them out, but the green leaves we leave alone.
Okay.
And we enjoy them all summer.
Okay.
Peonies, when the flowers are done, we prune them out. I leave my peonies. I take the flowers out, but I leave the leaves until, again, that big, hard first frost. The leaves all turn sort of purple and red and kind of burgundy, very pretty. Give them some time for the leaves to die down because of frost. And then down on your hands and knees, cut the peony to 1 inch tall above ground level, right across. So you don't have to deal with it in the spring.
Okie doke.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
You're so welcome.
You're welcome, Mary Ann. Thank you for the call. Wow, love that.
I think Mary Ann would like me to come to her place.
I think you're right, with a pair of shears.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go to Helen in Scarborough. And Helen is a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Helen.
Thank you.
And I'm going to, there
Morning.
You go.
Oh,
gotcha.
Welcome.
Garden Wings.
Good morning, Charlie. We listen to your show every Saturday. Love it. I have an apple tree in my garden. It must be at least maybe 30, 40 years old. Every single year we've had apples galore. This year, not one apple. What happened?
Did you have flowers?
Very, very. No blossoms. I just couldn't understand it.
Okay. I will help you understand it. It's nothing you did. It's very, very normal, particularly with the fruiting trees.
Yes.
When what happens is we have years where we get a bountiful harvest, like big, big harvest, and then we have years where we have no flowers at all. And it's just an energy thing for the tree. The tree can't actually produce a bountiful harvest every year. You probably haven't noticed, but over the years you have had some ups and downs in the amount of apples that come off that tree. And this year it's just gone to an extreme of no apples. But don't be overly concerned. Just do whatever you're doing. It sounds like you're doing the right thing if you've been enjoying the apples for all these years, and expect get out your bushel baskets for next year and don't be at all worried about this year. I would make sure that it's not having a lot of competition from other plants so that it is, you know, you're top dressing it with some good quality triple mix, that sort of thing. Make sure it's well, it's got good nutrient around it and, you know, good quality soil around it. But yeah, it all starts in the spring with flowers, right?
Yes. Well, to tell you the truth, we haven't fertilized at all because we don't eat the apples. They fall on the grass and then we throw them over into the ravine and the deers eat them. But this year, we haven't had a single apple. I think it's so unbelievable. I haven't had one single apple.
I mean, you're going to have to go buy some apples for the deer.
Yes, but you know, I'm just so interested why. That somebody told me it's not been pollinated.
Well, that's right. But perhaps there were very, very few flowers. Mm-hmm. And then the few flowers there were did not get pollinated. Mm-hmm. Or you're calling from Scarborough. Perhaps we had a late frost. I don't think we did. But sometimes we don't get a fruit crop because after the flower, while the flowers are on the trees, we get a very cold night and the flowers get frosted off and then there's no fruit. And that certainly has happened in the past. Dean, you might remember in Collingwood, probably 6-7 years ago, we had maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but either way, a very cold, cold frost, and it was in May, late May.
Yes,
and the Collingwood orchard apple growers, their crop went from the normal to like 10% of normal that year. They just did not get the apples because they all got frosted off. So it happens. Don't blame the tree and don't fertilize it now, whatever you do. But think about some top dressing and maybe you can get out somewhere where they've got old apples, you know, stuff that's not quality anymore and they're tossing them into a dumpster, then just say, hey, can I take those for my deer?
I'll send you this time next year and let you know,
okay? Yes, please.
Thanks so much for the call, Helen. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we have to take
it. I like that. That's a nice visual, picking up apples and throwing them into the ravine for the deer.
Yeah, no, really great.
It's Scarborough.
Listen,
that's great.
We have to take a quick break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here with more on The Garden Show. And Charlie, we are going to head on to North York now. We have Ethel on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Ethel.
Yes, good morning, Charlie and Dobbin. I have a problem, not a problem, it's just a question now. I had a boxwood in around my fountain, which I had to get rid of them because of the moth killed them all. And I would love to transplant rose bushes there. Is it advisable?
Sorry, transplant what?
Rose bushes.
Oh, rose bushes. Hmm. So you've taken out the boxwood.
It's all out.
Is the front of the house, what direction does the front of the house face?
It's not in the front. It's in my backyard. It's a southern backyard. It's a southern southern location. But is the lawn would be, the ground would be okay enough or would be still infested with the moth?
Don't worry. No. That insect that's wiping out the boxwood is very specific only to boxwood.
Okay.
Right? That will not affect roses whatsoever. But just make sure that if you are, it's called the box tree moth that is wiping out the boxwood.
Okay.
So good idea. Look for a replacement. Don't try and put more boxwood back in.
No, just make sure
it's full sun if you want roses to do well.
It is full sun there. It is full sun there.
Okay.
So, and when can I do that? When can I transplant the bushes in there?
Are they old bushes you've had for a long, long time?
Yes. Yes, it's in there at least 6 years, 5-6 years.
Okay. When is the best time? You could do it this fall. Mm-hmm. What I would do is I would cut the rose down. I don't. Mm-hmm. It's just like a hybrid tea rose, or what kind of rose is it?
They have the bush roses in there with the yellow bush rose. I forgot the names in there. It's all the name tags are in there. And then one of them is a very, very fine, it's an English, old English rose stem, which has only a single flower on them. It's not a double petal. And I forgot the name. It's a very old, kind parently. I got it from my neighbor. I don't know the name of it. I'm terrible sorry about it.
That's okay. No, I just, you could transplant this fall or you could wait till next spring. But either way, you're going to transplant roses late in the season or early in the season, not obviously in the middle of summer. Before you do any transplanting, you're going to cut the plant back by at least a third. So you're going to shrink the size of the plant down because you are going to leave some roots behind when you make the move. Prepare the hole for where you're going. Make sure that the soil is very fertile in the sense that it's got lots of lovely organic material in it, whether it's composted manure or your own compost. Make sure it's a well-drained soil. It's in full sun, but it's got real good quality to it. We call that good tilth. So it's a real good soil for growing roses, because roses are not that hard to grow, but if you've got to put them into well-drained, sunny location, but good quality soil, so that you've got the drainage, you know, the sandy part for the drainage, you've got the loam part for the water retention, but you've got that organic material so that you've got that richness as well. And then just have that all ready, and then pop the plants out, keep the soil around the roots in the process. So digging carefully, lifting over into the new spot, into the ground at the same level they're growing now.
Perfect, because right now they're growing as gorgeous. My bushes are gorgeous now, blooming still, blooming perfectly. So that's, maybe I should leave it to the springtime then. I'm better off probably.
Either way, I mean, the nice thing about doing it in the spring is you can see whether they're making it or not. You can see whether they're settling in. You transplant them now, and you don't really know what's going on until next spring.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much for the call, Ethel.
With the color and all that for every year, you know, the late fall. This is what I'm doing in the for marching it, you know. So
fabulous. Thanks for the call there, Ethel. Got to run. I got John on the line. We're just going to run over him real quick and see if he has a quick question for Charlie there. John, welcome to the Garden Show.
Yes, good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie. It's John, as usual. I don't know what I would tell the lady with the apples. My apples this year are not the greatest. Actually, my fruit trees are not the greatest, except my peaches. I picked up around maybe, 43 pounds of of peaches, and I still have some in the leaf. But my question is regarding my lawn. And I take care of it. I watered because I didn't have as much water as you guys did. Mississauga, it looks like we were forgotten this year. But anyhow, I think I have grubs, both in the back and the front. My neighbors have it too. What's the problem, Charlie, please?
Okay, so if you have grubs, remember how that works. Japanese beetles or a beetle that looks like a Japanese beetle, there's three different kinds, will have laid eggs beneath the drip line of big trees. They will also lay eggs beneath the edges of your house. So straight down, they copulate, party all night, straight down to the ground, lay eggs, die shortly thereafter. That was back in June. Now the eggs have hatched. They're little tiny, tiny, tiny grubs, and they're starting to get bigger because they're eating the roots of your grass. You go to your local garden center and you get the nematodes. Nematodes for controlling grubs. Follow all the instructions on the package. They're not cheap, but they work if you follow the instructions to the letter.
Anyhow.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, nothing. I was just saying the grubs will work. You just have to, the nematodes will work if you follow the instructions. So go for it and get, you know, hope for rain. Thanks for calling, John. I see we're at a racetrack here. Unfortunately, the show is done.
We are done.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Dean. I've been watching you. I saw Alan. Hi, Carlos. Wave to me. I'm watching you guys live on the live stream.
There we are.
Thanks, guys. Couldn't do any of this without you. Great callers, as usual. Keep those questions coming. Email me anytime, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.